Blog Talk Radio. experience, there's some technical difficulties. I want to thank each and every one of you. Those that are joining us in Japan, Korea, Netherlands, Jamaica, also Canada, the United States, wherever you may be at this time. I just want to welcome you this evening on Advent Light Ministry Prayer Line. Happy Preparation Day, brothers and sisters. Play another audio before we start. So I just want to welcome each and every one of you. Amen.
Chapter 16, A Happy, Successful Partnership.
To gain a proper understanding of the marriage relation is the work of a lifetime. Those who marry enter a school from which they are never in this life to be graduated. However carefully and wisely marriage may have been entered into, few couples are completely united when the marriage ceremony is performed. The real union of the two in wedlock is the work of the after years. As life with its burden of perplexity and care meets the newly wedded pair, the romance with which imagination so often invests marriage disappears. Husband and wife learn each other's character, as it was impossible to learn it in their previous association. This is a most critical period in their experience. The happiness and usefulness of their whole future life depend upon their taking a right course now. Often they discern in each other unsuspected weaknesses and defects. But the hearts that love has united will discern excellencies also heretofore unknown. Let all seek to discover the excellencies rather than the defects. Often it is our own attitude, the atmosphere that surrounds ourselves, which determines what will be revealed to us in another. Affection may be as clear as crystal and beauteous in its purity, yet it may be shallow because it has not been tested and tried. Make Christ first and last and best in everything. Constantly behold Him, and your love for Him will daily become deeper and stronger as it is submitted to the test of trial. And as your love for Him increases, your love for each other will grow deeper and stronger. Though difficulties, perplexities, and discouragements may arise, let neither husband nor wife harbor the thought that their union is a mistake or a disappointment. Determine to be all that it is possible to be to each other. Continue the early attentions. In every way, encourage each other in fighting the battles of life. Study to advance the happiness of each other. Let there be mutual love, mutual forbearance. Then marriage, instead of being the end of love, will be, as it were, the very beginning of love, the warmth of true friendship, the love that binds heart to heart, is a foretaste of the joys of heaven. All should cultivate patience by practicing patience, by being kind and forbearing. True love may be kept warm in the heart, and qualities will be developed that heaven will approve. Satan is ever ready to take advantage when any matter of variance arises. and by moving upon the objectionable, hereditary traits of character in husband or wife, he will try to cause the alienation of those who have united their interests in a solemn covenant before God. In the marriage vows, they have promised to be as one, the wife covenanting to love and obey her husband, the husband promising to love and cherish his wife. If the law of God is obeyed, the demon of strife will be kept out of the family, and no separation of interest will take place. No alienation of affection will be permitted. Counsel to a strong-willed couple. Neither husband nor wife is to make a plea for rulership. The Lord has laid down the principle that is to guide in this matter. The husband is to cherish his wife as Christ cherishes the church. And the wife is to respect and love her husband. Both are to cultivate the spirit of kindness, being determined never to grieve or injure the other. Do not try to compel each other to do as you wish. You cannot do this and retain each other's love. Manifestations of self-will destroy the peace and happiness of the home. Let not your married life be one of contention. If you do, you will both be unhappy. Be kind in speech and gentle in action, giving up your own wishes. Watch well your words, for they have a powerful influence for good or for ill. Allow no sharpness to come into your voices. Bring into your married life the fragrance of Christ-likeness. Express love in words and deeds. There are many who regard the expression of love as a weakness, and they maintain a reserve that repels others. This spirit checks the current of sympathy. As the social and generous impulses are repressed, they wither, and the heart becomes desolate and cold. We should beware of this error. Love cannot long exist without expression. Let not the heart of one connected with you starve for the want of kindness and sympathy. Let each give love rather than exact it. Cultivate that which is noblest in yourselves, and be quick to recognize the good qualities in each other. The consciousness of being appreciated is a wonderful stimulus and satisfaction. Sympathy and respect encourage the striving after excellence, and love itself increases as it stimulates to nobler aims. The reason there are so many hard-hearted men and women in our world is that true affection has been regarded as weakness and has been discouraged and repressed. The better part of the nature of persons of this class was perverted and dwarfed in childhood. And unless rays of divine light can melt away their coldness and hard-hearted selfishness, the happiness of such is buried forever. If we would have tender hearts, such as Jesus had when he was upon the earth, and sanctified sympathy, such as the angels have for sinful mortals, we must cultivate the sympathies of childhood, which are simplicity itself. Then we shall be refined, elevated, and directed by heavenly principles. Too many cares and burdens are brought into our families, and too little of natural simplicity and peace and happiness is cherished. There should be less care for what the outside world will say, and more thoughtful attention to the members of the family circle. There should be less display and affectation of worldly politeness, and much more tenderness and love, cheerfulness and Christian courtesy among the members of the household. Many need to learn how to make home attractive, a place of enjoyment. Thankful hearts and kind looks are more valuable than wealth and luxury, and contentment with simple things will make home happy if love be there. God tests and proves us by the common occurrences of life. It is the little things which reveal the chapters of the heart. It is the little attentions, the numerous small incidents and simple courtesies of life that make up the sum of life's happiness. And it is the neglect of kindly, encouraging, affectionate words and the little courtesies of life which helps compose the sum of life's wretchedness. It will be found at last that the denial of self for the good and happiness of those around us constitutes a large share of the life record in heaven. And the fact will also be revealed that the care of self, irrespective of the good and happiness of others, is not beneath the notice of our Heavenly Father. A husband who failed to express affection. A house with love in it, where love is expressed in words and looks and deeds, is a place where angels love to manifest their presence and hallow the scene by rays of light from glory. There the humble household duties have a charm in them. None of life's duties will be unpleasant to your wife under such circumstances. She will perform them with cheerfulness of spirit and will be like a sunbeam to all around her. And she will be making melody in her heart to the Lord. At present, she feels that she has not your heart's affection. You have given her occasion to feel thus. You perform the necessary duties devolving upon you as head of the family, but there is a lack. There is a serious lack of love's precious influence, which leads to kindly attentions. Love should be seen in the looks and manners, and heard in the tones of the voice. A disappointing, self-centered wife. The moral character of those united in marriage is either elevated or degraded by their association, and the work of deterioration accomplished by a low, deceptive, selfish, uncontrollable nature is begun soon after the marriage ceremony. If the young man makes a wise choice, he may have one to stand by his side who will bear to the utmost of her ability her share of the burdens of life, who will ennoble and refine him and make him happy in her love. But if the wife is fitful in character, self-admiring, exacting, accusing, challenging her husband with motives and feelings that originate only in her own perverted temperament, if she has not discernment and nice discrimination to recognize his love and appreciate it, but talks of neglect and lack of love because he does not gratify every whim, she will almost inevitably bring about the very state of things she seems to deplore. She will make all these accusations realities. Characteristics of a companionable wife and mother. Instead of sinking into a mere household drudge, let the wife and mother take time to read, to keep herself well informed, to be a companion to her husband, and to keep in touch with the developing minds of her children. Let her use wisely the opportunities now hers to influence her dear ones for the higher life. Let her take time to make the dear Savior a daily companion and familiar friend. Let her take time for the study of His Word. Take time to go with the children into the fields and learn of God.
Amen, amen. Good evening, brothers and sisters. Happy Preparation Day to each and every one of you. I just want to welcome you again this evening as we prepare to come together and to unite and to glorify and magnify the Lord and to give Him praise and honor, which is only due unto Him. Let us pray. Kind and loving Father, we thank You again for this Preparation Day, the Sabbath, which is upon us again. Time is, and we know You're soon to come. We see all the things that's happening around the world, even within where we live. But we ask that You will keep us from falling and present us flawless before Your coming. Help us to keep our eyes upon You, because You are in the most holy place interceding on our behalf as You're working there. On the right hand of the Father, there's a work that we need to do here to afflict our soul, to cry aloud and spare not and lift up our voice as a trumpet and to get our house in order and to repent and to be found in Jesus. So when you look upon us, you'll see Jesus' righteousness and not our filthy righteousness, Lord. Please help us to accept the Lord as our personal Savior, and to be obedient and to be willing and able to die to self and to be born again anew in Christ Jesus, as in Galatians 2:20. Help us to truly have that experience. Be with our friends, our family, our brothers and sisters, our children, those that have grandchildren and great-grandchildren. We ask that You will put a hedge of protection around them. We ask that You will help them, that Your Holy Spirit will speak to them in a language they can understand, or in the way, in the manner that they can understand, and take heed and repent and give their life to You. Bless us again. Bless the speaker when he come at the 8 o'clock hour. Help us to be reverent. Help us to do everything in decency and in order, that everything will go according to Your will. We thank You and we praise You and we glorify, we magnify Your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And I just want to share a reading from Prophets and Kings chapter 14. Prophets and Kings chapter 14. It says, during the Christian dispensation, the great enemy of man's happiness had made the Sabbath of the fourth commandment an object of special attack. Satan said, I will work at cross purpose with God. I will empower my followers to set aside God's memorial, the seventh-day Sabbath. Thus I will show the world that the day sanctified and blessed by God has been changed, that they shall not live in the minds of the people. I will obliterate the memory of it. So he wants to destroy the memory of the Sabbath. I will place in its stead a day that does not bear the credential of God, a day that cannot be a sign between God and His people. I will lead those who accept this day to place upon it and sanctify that God place upon the seventh day. Continue reading. Thus the world will become mine. I will be the ruler of the earth. This is what Satan is saying. Sister Ellen White wrote in Prophets and Kings, chapter 14, paragraph 184.1. Again, thus the world will become mine. I will be the ruler of the world, the prince of the world. I will so control the minds under my power that God's Sabbath shall be a special object of contempt. Wow. A sign. I will make the observance of the seventh day a sign of disloyalty to the authority of earth. Human laws will be made so stringent that men and women will not dare to observe the seventh-day Sabbath. For fear of wanting food and clothing, they will join with the world in the transgression of God's law. The earth will be wholly under my dominion. And this is what is happening right now, brothers and sisters. This is what the enemy of our soul and the evil angel and the evil man that has he had bought that are on his side, knowingly and unknowingly, this is what they are doing. It started in secret, but it's coming out in full sight. And God said that he will reveal these things to us. He have already revealed them through the book, the Bible, and the spirit of prophecy. And now we're seeing it with our own eyes in this last generation. So let us be found without spot or wrinkle. Let us be prepared for the Lord coming, and let us be obedient. And no matter what, let us serve him, and debt before dishonor, so that the Lord can say to us at his appearing, well done, good and faithful service. Enter thou into the kingdom. Jesus loves us. He's soon to come, and he wants us to be ready, brothers and sisters. What say you? Have you made your calling an election sure? He has given us ample amount of time. Help, may the Lord help us to repent and to seek him. Amen. So if you have a testimony, prayer request, scripture reading, a Sabbath song, please press 1 so that I can open your line. God is good. He's truly worthy to be praised. And as the preparation days here, we want to praise the Lord with a Sabbath song. We want to talk of his goodness and his mercy and love. We want to come with meat and substance, you know, that we may present for the Lord. 518-482, good evening. Your line is now open.
Good evening, Sister Carla. Thank you for opening my line, and happy Sabbath to all my dear brothers and sisters who are on this line. You know, this week, I just not too long came in. I went and see my brother in the home, fed him, left him pulling his tummy, and he is well asleep. So I thank the Lord for that. I went and do my job. And God is so good to me. He has been so good to me. I didn't get to this week, the 1st of August was his birthday. I didn't get to go, but I had to go this evening. You know, I had to go there. And then my daughter had time to take me to see him. My brother couldn't go because he had a procedure done. But God is good through everything else. He is good. And you know what? We have, I heard you said, Sister Clara, that we have to think about Jesus, right? And our focus today has to be on Jesus. In Hebrews 12:2, it tells us that looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and has sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. You know, today, when we think about our world today, the world all around us are crumbling. We could see it. And we should not focus on the crisis around us. Our focus should be on Jesus. Jesus. As long as your focus is on him, you have nothing to worry about. This sinful world, I could say, is full of roadblocks, pitfalls, all orchestrated by whom? Satan, to keep you from the only one who can save you. But my dear brothers and sisters, my little advice to you this evening on this beautiful Sabbath evening. Don't let the devil deceive you for one moment. I want to sing this song. Oh, Jesus, my Redeemer. I could, it's four verses, but Sister Carla, I could sing three, right? Can I sing three verses? I don't want to take up nobody's time. Hello? Sister Carla?
I'm sorry, I was on mute. You can. This is a Sabbath song? Yes, you can go ahead and sing four,
yes.
Please. Thank you. Amen.
Okay. Oh, Jesus, my Redeemer, thou art my joy and song, my Savior and my solace when griefs around me throng. Oh, Jesus, my Redeemer, my song shall be a theme. No other friend so constant, no friend so dear to me. Thou art my hope and comfort through all the weary years. When shadows dark surround me, when falls a bitter tear, I trust in thee, my Savior, my faithful friend and guide. For thou to me art dearer than all on earth beside. O Jesus, my Redeemer, my song shall be of thee. No other friend so constant, no friend so dear to me. My song and my rejoicing while in this world of sin. My song and my rejoicing, the heavenly gates within. Oh, Jesus, my Redeemer, my song shall be of thee. No other friend so constant, no friend so dear to me. Amen. Thank you, Sister Paula, for opening my line. And that is my little advice to all of us on this beautiful Sabbath evening. Welcoming God's holy Sabbath day. Our focus should be on hope. Our focus should be on Jesus. And may the Lord help us to keep our eyes fixed on him. Focus not on the things that are happening in the world, but we are should be focusing our minds on Jesus, our soon coming Savior and King. Happy Sabbath to everyone. Amen. Thank you, Sister Carla, for opening my line.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Consinelli, for coming on and for sharing that beautiful song. And thank you for your presence here on the prayer line. Each and every one of you are always a part of us, you know, on the prayer line. We're a big family. We're in different parts of the states or the country, but we're a big family, and especially in God's sight, we are, as we come together and praise him, he is happy to hear us and for us to give him praise and honor. Is there anyone else who would like to share? Please press 1 so that I can open your line. Happy Preparation Day, brothers and sisters. 985-232, your line is now open.
Hello, this is Sister Brenda calling from Houma, Louisiana. I just thank God for Preparation Day. I thank God for blessing us on this day, watching over us, and waking us up. I just want to thank God for blessing Advent Light and all the other churches opening in God's name. I don't have my phone downloaded on the app yet because the new phone and I'm trying to work it. It's Android, but I haven't got it all together yet. Everything's different on different phones. So I just want to praise the Lord, lift his name up, magnify his name, and thank him for us making it another Sabbath for preparation. And pray that we all eat the Sabbath in the morning and the Lord see us through. We're just going to pray for my family. Pray for my family again, bereaved family. I got a family member get buried tomorrow. And just want to ask you to lift them up and thank God be the glory that everybody be okay. And just want to continue lifting up the Lord and giving him my praise, and we're just going to keep on praying for the family and Advent Light family on and off the prayer line, and pray for Sister Power in Jamaica, and Brother Rick and his family, and all our other brothers and sisters, and Sister Carla at Detroit, and we just want to pray for Tamika and her family, and Sister Power's daughter and the rest of our family off and on, and Brother O'Neill. So I just want to thank God for everybody, and God bless. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Brenda.
Let it be all.
Amen. Okay, thank you again for joining us. It was a pleasure seeing Sister Brenda and Brother John in Louisiana, Sister Leola, Sister LaCole, and some of the brethren from the other church as we were out there ministering to those on the street. It was a blessing to actually do that because there's going to come a time when we can't do this openly. We can't encourage others or pray with them as we're doing now. So in a time of peace, we ought to, you know, be out there ministering to people and presenting the gospel and the soon returning of our Lord King of Kings. And the need for repentance. Amen. So is there anyone else who would like to share? Please press 1. We don't want to wait till the last minute to share because the speaker, Brother Troy, he will be on to present. He was here about 2 or 3 Sabbaths ago. So he will be back on to do part 2 of his message. So again, please press 1. If you would like to share at this time, if you have a prayer request, a quick short testimony, you know, for the week or for something that you haven't shared before, you can press 1. Or if you have just something to share from your devotion this week or what the Lord has done for you or what the Lord is doing within your life, within the life of your friends and family, we also want to hear about that. So please go ahead and press 1 so that I can open your line, brothers and sisters. This is sharing time for each and everyone to share. Again, God is good and he's worthy to be praised. Just a prayer routine in prayer. Some of you know Sister Payne, just keep her in prayer. Haven't like actually spoke to her, but through other friends and brothers and sisters, I heard, you know, she's been in the hospital a couple times, and her dementia, you know, has gotten worse. And we know things like that, you know, the enemy is attacking the mind. And, you know, And sometimes the people don't know it, what's going on. That's why we have to be grounded and we have to be settled in the truth so that the enemy cannot have hold of our mind, diet. I mean, everything we have to, you know, give over to the Lord. We have to, once we know what is right and what the things that we need to do to preserve this body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, we have to make that decided change. We have to ask God to help us because we cannot do it within our own strength, and to surrender all to Him. Amen. So let me open Sister Lee Ola's line. She says she's been pressing one, but it hasn't come up on my screen, so I will go ahead and open her line. Amen. I don't like to open a line unless someone has pressed one, but sometimes it doesn't show up. So 225-337, good evening. Your line is now open.
Amen, amen. And that's true, Sister Carla. I pressed one and I didn't hear it tell me that I was in a host queue. So I know you wasn't getting it. So that's what happens when a person presses one. And if you don't hear you in the host queue, you got to text or tell somebody that you've been pressing one. Amen. So I want to read this call, but I want to sing a song because God has blessed me this week. I was so grateful for God blessing me with my fasting. I began to fast on Tuesday morning. Well, I was talking to the Lord. I said, Lord, I've been eating a fast for Jarvis because he said some things come by fasting and praying. So I said, Lord, I need to fast and pray. I said, I need your help. And Sister Carla, I'm serious. I couldn't come to do it, and I was doing a 6 to 6, but 6 o'clock in the morning to 6 o'clock in the evening. But I haven't did 3 days, complete 3 days in years. So all of a sudden, I say, Lord, you said if I have faith, and I've been reading my book and talking about faith, if you have that faith that mustard seed and move mountains. So I say, Lord, you said if I have faith, I can, and believe, I can do it. And I say, now, Lord, please don't let me get sick, because sometimes I can even eat and I get nauseated, sick, and want to throw up and headache. And let me tell you something. God said do it. And I began to do it. And I started feeling good. I was feeling no headache, no nausea, and all these things. And so I just drank me a little lemon and ginger, and I drink these things to keep my stomach if any gas build up. And then I went through the night, Tuesday night, and then Wednesday morning, Wednesday night. And then I woke up Thursday morning, Thursday night, and I say, praise God, if you can just get me through Thursday night till in the morning, 9 o'clock, when we pray, and the Lord bless. And I just was singing, so I just want to, I say, and then I start singing this song after 9 o'clock. I say, rejoice, rejoice, O Christian. And I say, wait a minute, what's the name of that song? I couldn't think of the name. And I look it up, and I say, well, I got to sing this song because I've been singing this song. I say, I just got to sing this song. So, Sister Carla, I'm going to attempt to sing this song right quick. I'm just going to sing all of standard, but I'm going to sing the chorus one time. Okay. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever man may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. And I'm saying, too, in all the world around me, I see his love and care. And my heart, and though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that he is leading through all the stormy blasts. the day of his appearing will come at last. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujah, Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with us, he talks with us along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask us how, we know he lives. He lives within our heart. And when I was singing that song, it was such a joy. But you know when you trust, when God said, just do it, just do it. And he made a way. I was so grateful that God got me through 3 complete days of fasting, fasting with liquid. I fast, and then I say, well, Lord, what can I break this fast with? So I looked it up on the internet, and it says fast with a smoothie or soup. And so I made me a nice soup with an apple, with 2 kiwis, and I put some hemp seed in, you know. And I'm telling you, I drank that, and I was full, and I didn't eat until 3 o'clock today. But I felt my sugar had dropped down to 82. And when I figured, okay, well, I better eat something now. So I just want to let you know, sisters, when the Lord was speaking to me Tuesday morning, and you know, I hadn't eaten anything that around about 7 o'clock Monday night. So I went from Monday night, Monday evening, all the way through Friday morning. Nobody happier than me to get through that, to fast and pray for my son, to fast and pray for my brothers and sisters on this prayer line. You know, I've been praying all day, and I just couldn't fast and pray for just one person, but I fast and pray for our church members, brothers and sisters, our family members, and I just thank God for what he has already done. So, Sister Carla, I am so happy that God gave me the victory, but I know I'm going to have another test. And that test, I got to overcome. Because, you know, it's not just one time. God say be consistent. So by God's grace, I'm praying that he give me another 3 days. And then I want to go a week. Because if Christ said that he was going to suffer 3 days and 3 nights on this earth, can we not suffer through a hunger for 3 days? So I was blessed to be able to do it. 3 days and 3 nights. I thank God for that. Amen. Thank you, Sister Carla. I'm truly happy. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Leola, for sharing that, because it's powerful to fast. You know, we fasten, you know, from the things that take our mind off Christ also, you know, that takes up the stomach, because when the stomach has to work, our mind, we don't have, you know, concentrate that much. We don't learn. We can't focus that much. But if we, the word of Christ, that will fill us, and we, our spiritual man will grow. So indeed, that's powerful. And I was just contemplating, I need to fast once a week. You know, I usually fast. I know there's a ministry, they fast the first of the month, the first 3 days of the month, and every once a week they would fast too. And it was powerful. I was doing it faithfully in Virginia, you know, and the Holy Spirit just come upon you, and it is a powerful, it's just a feeling, is really good to have the Holy Spirit upon you to be able to hear the Lord's still voice, and to be able to memorize the verses, be able to be a witness, and people look on you and see that glow on you just because you have been in the presence of the Lord, and you deny yourself from food and worldly things that takes you away from him. And God is good. Thank you again for sharing, my sisters. Sister, amen. I believe this is the dear sister in New York. Let me open Sister Barnaby. I don't know if she has pressed 1 and I didn't see it. We have a short time. Let me open this line to see if this is Sister Barnaby, if she wants to share really quick. before we go into the message. 518-253, your line is open. Okay, this is not Sister Barnaby. Okay. So I have one more line, and please be brief so we can pray and go into the message. Amen. 843-206, your line is open.
Amen. Thank you for opening my line, Sister Carla. Praise the Lord. This is Sister Tanika from Florida. I'm just giving the Lord all praise and honor and glory. I thank the Lord for bringing me through another week, safe and sound, and for always being with us and strengthening us and never leaving us nor forsaking us. And I just have a scripture to read in Psalms 100, verses 1 through 5. Amen. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord is, he is good, and he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and his sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. Verse 5, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Praise the Lord. But thank you so much for opening my line. And I just ask a prayer request to please pray for my family, my children, my grandchildren, and my mom, and for the whole prayer line tonight, if you could lift us all up in prayer. Thank you so much for opening my line, Sister Carla. God's blessings to all of you. Love you all. Bye-bye. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And Sister Tamika, are you available just to do a couple prayer? If you can pray for Sister Powell, Brother Eli, Sister Leola, Brother Rick, and I will pray for the rest and whatever else God's put on your mind, and I will pray for the rest. Is that possible?
Yes, my beloved sister. Amen. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Amen. I will pray now. Our Father,
yes,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We come into your holy presence on this precious Sabbath night. Dear Lord, we come before you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for everything you have done for each and every one of us on the Event Life prayer line. We're so grateful, Lord. We bless your holy name. We glorify your great and holy name, and we magnify your great and holy name to the highest place, Hosanna in the highest. Lord, we are so grateful to be here tonight. We're giving you praise and honor because you're so worthy to be praised, Lord. We're lifting up each and every person on the prayer line this evening. Lord, we pray for Sister Carla and her precious children, Nicholas and Amanda. Continue to bless Sister Carla. She's the host tonight, dear Lord. Cover her under the blood of Jesus from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, Lord. We ask that you strengthen her. Hide her in your ark of safety and be with her each and every minute. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for her. Continue to bless her beautiful garden, and we will be sure to give you praise and honor and glory. Heavenly Father, we are also lifting up Sister Powell, who's in Jamaica with her precious daughter, Sister Stephanie. We're lifting up Sister Stephanie's children as well, KJ and Kaja. Continue to bless them, dear Lord. Guide and keep and protect them. Father God, we ask that you hide them under the safety of your precious wings. Please continue to be with Sister Powell. Dear Lord, bless Alex Nation. We ask that you bless the Williams family. We ask that you bless the Rosie's Project. And we ask that you bless her ministry that she's doing in Jamaica for the beautiful children, Lord, bringing them book bags and books of love, the steps to Christ, and giving her beautiful gifts to each and every child there, feeding them, bringing them clothes and everything that they need. Lord, you said in your word, it is written, you will provide. You shall supply their every need according to your riches and your glory through Christ Jesus. So, Lord, we thank you for this precious ministry that you have given this Sister Powell. Continue to bless her abundantly. Give her a triple portion of the Holy Spirit. And be with her, Lord. We ask that you walk with her along life now and ways, dear Lord, and we will be sure to give you praise and honor and glory. Heavenly Father, we lift in up Brother Rick and his precious family as well. Dear Lord, continue to bless him and his wife, his mom, his dad, Lord. We ask that you bless his daughter, Amanda. Continue to bless her, watch over her, keep her safe and well. And we ask, dear Lord, for blessings from heaven to to fall afresh upon Brother Rick as he is also doing ministry work. Dear Lord, so thank you so much for Brother Rick and his family. Bless them abundantly, Lord. Thank you again. And we're also lifting up Brother Eli and his mom, Rose, and we're praying for the DECO program as he's praying for his precious friends. He's praying for Brother Javel, Brother Dylan. He's praying for Brother Shaq, for Sister Shamika. He's praying for Brother Anthony. So bless all of his precious, beloved friends, Heavenly Father. Hold them close in the precious palm of your holy hands, dear Lord. May you continue to be with Brother Eli as he is a deacon in his church, Father, and he is winning souls to Jesus. Hallelujah, in the mighty name of Jesus. Continue to be with him. Father God, we also lift up Sister Barnaby and her precious family. Dear Lord, continue to bless her, Father God. Walk with her, dear Lord, and strengthen her at all times. Heavenly Father, we pray for Brother Akeem James and his family. Continue to bless, guide, and keep them safe and well. Father God, we also are lifting up Brother Ricardo and his wife, Sister Samantha. Please continue to bless them, Father God. Whatever they need, provide their every need according to your riches and glory, Father God. So we are so grateful for all of our precious, beloved sisters and brothers. Please bless Sister Continelli and her family as well. You know what they stand in need of, Lord, so we ask for multiple blessings upon them. Heavenly Father, I lift up my family as well. You know, every hair on their head. Continue to bless my children, my grandchildren, and my mom. Be with them, Lord. We ask that you draw them closer to you in these last days. Heavenly Father, we are also praying for Sister Katie and her family as well. Be with her, Father God, and strengthen her. Whatever she's going through, Lord, we ask that you strengthen her. Be with her and cover her under the blood of Jesus and the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, Lord. We thank you so much for each and every person here tonight. Dear Lord, and we plead the blood of Jesus over every single name that I call tonight, that you will be with us and strengthen us, Father God, and help us to do thy will. Not our will, but let thy will be done in each and every one of us. So I thank you tonight for everything, Father God. Thank you for hearing and answering this prayer. We love you, Lord, and we leave in your care and keeping. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Father, as we continue to pray, we thank you ever so much for your blessed assurance upon our life. I thank you for Sister Katie. May you bless her. May you protect her and guide her. May she seek you day and night for deliverance, Lord. Be with her children, her family as a whole, her mother, Lord. We ask for continuous blessing upon her also. Be with Sister Leola, her family. She's praying and fasting for her beloved son. And your beloved son is Jesus. And he gave his precious blood, his life for each and every one of us. You said that you wish that none will perish, but all will have everlasting life. Be with Sister Lacole and her daughter also. Be with each and every one of us, Sister Brother Troy and his wife and their family in a special way. We ask that you will touch them, that you will draw them closer to you. We ask that you will beat back the foe of the enemy that comes and tries to come against them. We thank you, Lord. We thank you and we praise you even for the unspoken prayer requests. We ask that you will answer each and every one of the unspoken prayer requests, the desire of your children, their hearts to serve you, to draw closer to you, the desire for their children to be saved. Please be with those that are joining us via the internet in Japan, China, the Netherlands, in the Caribbean, Jamaica, the United States, I believe it's New Zealand, Canada, wherever they may be, Lord, may you touch them. May you provide for them the necessity of life. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us of our sins. And in your word, Matthew chapter 11, starting at verse 28, it says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Help us not to just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. And all your precious promises, may we claim them for ourselves, our family, our neighbors. Thank you again for the message and the messenger that you have sent for this evening. May we have ears to hear, and not only to hear, but to understand and to apply these things to our life. We thank you again for Brother Troy and Sister Lorraine. Bless them again in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Brother Troy, if you can press 1 so that I can open your line. I believe I, it's the 304 number, so I'll go ahead and open your line, 304. Amen, Brother Troy.
I'm here. You're hearing me?
Yes, I can hear you now. We can hear you.
Amen, amen. You hear me clearly, bro? Well, thanks again for inviting me back, Sister Carla, and these closing hours as the our Holy Sabbath day of rest. It is a pleasure and an honor and a great responsibility to be on this prayer line. I hear the testimonies. I hear the love. I hear all of the fasting and prayer, and it's an encouragement. It's a delight to be fellowshipping with you, brethren, and this our upcoming Sabbath day of rest. I want to open with a brief word of prayer, and then I'm going to get straight into my message. It's Peculiar People, Part 2, and let me begin first with prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you, the Lord, for bringing all of us together over all over your world, dear Lord. And I pray that hearts would be open to receive your message tonight. May you speak through me and to me, dear Lord, as well, that all of us will come and get a better and clearer understanding of your will for us, dear Father. Guide us into your truth. May your Holy Spirit keep us rooted and grounded, dear Lord, in your truth, dear Father. I ask for all these blessings. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Sister Carla, how much time do I have?
You think at least by 9:15, 9:30, my brother, and if you need to come back again, our doors are open.
All right, 9:15, 9:30 is good. So let me get going. The last time, of those that were online, I spoke about the definition of peculiar people. I went from macro, large concepts, good and bad. Now today, the focus is going to be different. I want to focus on the biblical definition of peculiar. But before that, I want to share the verse for tonight. It's going to be several verses, but the key verse for tonight would be 1 John 3, verses 1, 2, and 3. The epistle of Brother John, 1 John 3, verse 1, 2, and 3. Of those that are taking notes. And it as follows. Behold, what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that had this hope in him purified himself, even as he is pure. So these verses here, and if you look at verse 1 carefully, it says that we are sons of God, therefore the world knoweth us not. And that, keep this first verse in mind. I will come back to it later on. And that is part of being peculiar. So I went, the last time I gave a broad definition, but now I want to hone it down and look for the root causes and how God chooses his people to be peculiar. So I look up the biblical definition of the word peculiar. And in the Old Testament, the word peculiar means to shut up, to shut up is something that is precious, that is protected. It's precious. It's valuable. So that is what the Lord see in us. In the New Testament, in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew Old Testament, it means to shut up as in wealth, being closely shut up or protected. If a person owns something precious or valuable, they will treat it differently than the stuff that they, that's an example. In the New Testament, which is in the Old Greek, it says, the word that translates peculiar in the KJV is peripoises, and it means to translate as possession. So I said, wow, how beautiful it is. So when we are peculiar, we are precious, we are valuable, we are protected, we are shut up in the love of God, but he also possesses us. And I want to see, I'm going to take you to a journey, and we're going to begin this journey to find how God establishes his covenant, because to make us precious, he makes covenant with us. And I'm looking for the root cause. I went on an investigation journey, brethren. And it's a beautiful journey. I'm still working on it, of course, but I have enough to share tonight. You and I see that we are possessed, that we are precious, that we are valuable to God. And that is the biblical definition of being peculiar that Brother Peter mentioned in 1 Peter 2:9, how we are a peculiar people, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Peter is quoting from the Old Testament. So now let's take our Bibles, and I want to find the root causes of how can we get peculiarity and how can we lose it as well. It's kind of sad. So I'm going to begin with Father Adam. I'm going to begin with Adam. I know this is a prayer line, so I'm going to give the verses. What you could do, I'm suggesting you to you, you could go back and read them later on. So I'm going to go first to Genesis. I'm checking, I'm looking for the root of peculiar, possessed, valuable, precious. We notice that in the Garden of Eden, something, Genesis 2, 8 through 20, you could write down those verses, Genesis 2, 8 through 20. I'm just going to focus on certain verses there to make my point. But as by the students, my brethren, you could go back and you could as Bereans, go and study and get the point. But I want you to get the point here. And Genesis 2, 15, it says, The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress and to keep it. That's to work it and to keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden of that thou may eat at it freely. And in 17, God says, but of the tree of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So Adam knew, in a way, this is my words, God gave a commandment to Adam. And in reading patriarchs and prophets, I was saying, what is so special about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? I went into the chapter of the creation in Patriarchs and Prophets, page 47, and to my surprise, there was nothing special about the tree of knowledge and good and evil. I'm going to tie it up right now. On page 47, it says, inspiration is saying, the tree of life, in the midst of the garden stood the tree of life, surpassing in glory all other trees, its fruit appeared like apples of gold and silver, are not a power to perpetuate or to continue life. I said, wow. So the test that God gave Father Adam, it wasn't with the most magnificent tree. They could have eaten of the tree of life, and they did eat of it. The test was given to them for the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And we know the story that Father Adam failed that test. I'm making my point to peculiar. So Adam, by disobedience, lost Garden of Eden. The next character that follows is his son Cain and Abel. So disobedience play a key role in someone losing their peculiarity, and you see why in momentarily. So I went back now, and I want to find out what is the root causes. Why God choose? How God choose us to be peculiar, and why does He do so? So Adam had two firstborn, Cain and Abel. That story is found in Genesis 4, okay? Genesis 4, 1 through 8. So to our point, in verse 7, this was about worship. Disobedience, again, took hold of Cain. He disobeyed when he came to worship the Lord, and he didn't offer the blood of sacrifice. And if you read this, you know the story. Genesis 4, 1 through 8, Cain, because of jealousy and disobedience to his brother Abel, who did the right thing and offered the right sacrifices, God rejected Cain's offerings, but he had respect unto Abel. Let me pause right here now and say, the standard for worship is set by God. We don't set the standard or to worship Him. This is the root causes of that. And in Genesis 4:7 is the first time in the Bible where the word sin appear. If you notice, it's right there. It says God told Cain, if thou doest well, thou shalt not be accepted. If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. So how interesting, brothers and sisters, that the first time sin literally appear in the scriptures, it has to do with worship. And it, the two brothers, we know the story. Cain end up killing his younger brother, and then God replaced him with Seth, and the story continues. The fourth person here that I want you to notice, because I'm looking for peculiarity, is Seth had a son named Enoch. And in my words, it doesn't say, but it's implied Enoch was peculiar. It says there in Genesis 5, if we go to Genesis 5, Genesis 5, 22, it says, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And 24, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So Enoch was a peculiar person in the midst of a perverse and wicked generation. We find that out if we go to the book of Jude. Enoch was also a prophet. He prophesied. So Enoch was peculiar. Enoch lived in a time like ours. It does not say so. It does not mention that in Genesis, but in the book of Jude, it is clearly said so, where Jude, writing under inspiration, it says, verse 14 and 15, and Enoch also, this is Jude 14:15, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these things, of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all who are convinced of all that are ungodly among them that are among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, of all of their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. So we see here that God took Enoch to heaven because he was peculiar, and Enoch lived, inspiration tells us, among a perverse and ungodly generation. The next one who was peculiar, because I'm looking for the root causes, was Noah. Noah, if you go to Genesis 6, we could see that Noah, in Genesis 6:9, the Bible says that these are the generation of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect, meaning blameless, in his generation, and Noah walked with God. Just like his great-granddaddy, Noah walked with God. He was obedient. He followed what God told him, built an ark when they had never seen rain, and he preached that message for 120 years, also in a wicked and perverse generation. So we see that Abel was peculiar. He listened to his daddy. He did the right. He did the right sacrifice of blood. We see that Enoch was peculiar. God took him. He walked with God. And we see that Noah was peculiar. And we know that God saved him and his family. So I'm tracing the root. So we see, now I'm seeing that God is a pattern. He has people who he consider peculiar. And all, now the next character that I'm wanting to get the root causes, remember, we are precious when we are precious, we are valuable, and we are his possession when we are peculiar. Don't forget those words. The next character that I noticed is Abram. I went to Genesis 12. We know that God called out Abram. He wasn't Abraham yet, out of the Ur of the Chaldeans, and promised him. How God knew that Abram was such a peculiar God, only God knew his heart. But we know that it says, and know the Lord God said to Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy father's house and to the land that I will shew thee. So God has to find something peculiar with Abram, who later became Abraham, that at 75 years young, he took him out of Ur of the Chaldeans, take him to a new place, and promising that he will make him a nation as large as the stars. So it had to be that just like Enoch and just like Noah, God saw something in Abram to make him a peculiar person, that God brought him out and promised to make a covenant with him to make him a special people. That's quite interesting. Peculiar has to do with distinctiveness. In my last message, I gave a broad definition. I'm only going to focus on the key elements now. And we notice that to be obedient, to be peculiar, we require to have holiness, which is set apart. I also mentioned in my last message about the confederacies that, unknown to us, people, even our brethren, might have joined knowingly or unknowingly. Patriarchs and Kings, page 293, it says, God's favor toward Israel had been conditional on their obedience. It's the same thing that God did with Adam. He made him a test. God tests us to show our character. Satan tempts us to make us fall. So God always tests us. Sadly, Father Adam failed the test of obedience. That's why sin came into the world, because all unrighteousness is sin, and the first commandment tells us clearly that thou shalt have none other God before me. So the root cause of us losing our peculiarity, our preciousness towards God, I'm noticing from the root causes is disobedience. I continue with Pagan and Prophets. At the foot of Sinai, they had entered into a covenant relationship. I'm soon going to hit on covenant relationship. It linked covenant, making a covenant is linked directly with being peculiar. I'm going to link it up right now. And covenant relationship with him as his. So God has Israel as his treasure above all people. They are solemn, and they have the solemnity towards them. And one of the things then that I noticed that God went from being individual, we see it in Enoch, we saw it in Abel, we saw it in Noah, we saw it in Abraham, and then he promised that peculiar, that preciousness to their seed. How precious is the Lord? Also, with Abraham, I want to mention something clearly here. I want to pause. I don't know. I know it's a large congregation, and many of the people in the world are saying that the 10th, I'm hearing it quite often here where I live in Virginia, that the 10th commandment was done away with and that it was a commandment given to the Jews. And nothing could be more farther away from the truth from that statement. It is a false statement. And I want to just mention, if we go to Genesis 26, if you follow me to Genesis 26, I'm still on the line of peculiarity. I'm just mentioning certain items that could help us. I'm establishing from the Bible that God sees us as special, as valuable, as his prized possession. In Genesis 26, when it comes to the commandment of God, it's very important. And it says in verse 5, God is speaking to Isaac, but that's what it says about his dad. It says, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. The first reference to this, anyone tells you that the commandment was given until Exodus 20th, we could show clearly now that Abraham kept the Lord's commandment. Genesis 26:5, you could take a note of that. And that is way before any Hebrew or the nation of Israel was ever in existence. The Bible always shows itself. So we know that these brethren were commandment-keeping people. So you could take a note of that. Also, we know that Jacob had the nation of Israel. You know, Abraham had Isaac had Jacob and his brother Esau. And then Jacob had 12 sons. So we know from Abraham being a commandment keeper that he taught it to Isaac, Isaac to his twin sons. And we know, I don't know if Esau did, but we know certainly that Jacob did. I know we didn't know that Jacob did keep the commandment. Let's go to Genesis 39. I just want to make these points then clear, because a lot of these talks are around that the commandments are only given to the Jews and to Genesis 20th. Even Exodus 20th, Even Exodus 16, the chapter before, let us know the man of miracle. But here it is now, Joseph, by the Bible, the favorite son of Jacob, and he was tested by Potiphar's wife. And if you go to Genesis 39:9, look how peculiar and look how special was Joseph. It says there, Joseph is talking to Potiphar's wife. She wants to sleep with him. She wants to break the seventh commandment. And it says here, Joseph is telling this to Potiphar's wife. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither had he kept anything back from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? That is Exodus 20:14, thou shalt not commit adultery. So I'm just giving you these verses that you could see that Abraham, the patriarch of our faith, they call him the friend of God, kept the commandment, Genesis 26 verse 5, and his grandson Joseph. So we know that from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob to his sons, we know for sure that these brethren then and were commandment keepers, as none of them were Jewish. They were Hebrews, but they were not Jews. So you could use these verses when they're saying that the commandment was given in Exodus 20, that is not so. Although sin entered through Adam's disobedience, the word was not used until Exodus 4 with Cain when he disobeyed God during worship. We see that Abraham obeyed commandments in 26, and that Joseph says he could not break the seventh commandment. So there was commandment people, commandment keeping people. So please keep that way. So we could see that Joseph stood out. He was a peculiar God in the realm of the Egyptian, who were in the midst of paganism. So we continue. I'm tracing step by step how we could regain or keep our obedience, our peculiarity, because we need to come back to be precious, to be valuable. And I'm sure many of us are peculiar. First message, if you recall, they are calling Seventh-day Adventist Christians as the people who used to know the book, or we used to be known as the people of the book. And that was it. That is what I heard that really bothered me. And it also had to do that we're losing our distinctiveness, our preciousness, our valuable in the sight of the Lord. So we want to regain that. And in doing so, we have made unbeknownst to us confederacies that we want to break. So maybe now I noticed after that the peculiarity from Seth, from Noah, from Abraham, from Jacob to his sons went now to the nation of Israel. And God make a covenant with them. So I have to go now and look up the word covenant. Because covenant, as we just mentioned, is conditional on obedience. But still, I have to find out what is the definition of a covenant. We have to find out what is a covenant. A covenant is a contract. It's an agreement between two parties. And if one party does not keep his part of the agreement, it is stated there that there will be consequences that might be taken. So God covenant, the first time I see the word covenanted, God covenanted definitely in the Bible, God covenanted with Abraham. He promised him, if you go to I have my notes mixed up. If you go to Genesis, where God promised Abraham, he made a covenant with him that it would make him a great nation. That is in Exodus 12, as the first time that God made a covenant with Abraham. He wasn't Abraham yet, and that's the covenant that he also gave by his seed to Isaac and to Jacob. So we see here now from Genesis 12 that God covenanted with Abraham and his seed, which is Isaac and Jacob, and then the 12 children of Jacob who became the nation of Israel, and their seed, they're benefited from that covenant because God promised that to Father Abraham. I'm continuing. Exodus 19, God made the covenant with all of the kids. I'm just making the point about covenant. And in Exodus 19:5, we read something very special. God says, "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people of the earth, because the earth is mine." In the Bible, peculiar means special. So God is making a covenant. He says that we're going to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the verses that Peter is quoting in 1 Peter 2:9, where he says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." So that covenant that God made with Abraham, and then he repeated to Isaac and to Jacob, he's giving it now to the, it went from the individual to their seed. A covenant in ancient world is a contract, a treaty, or will. Each covenant establishes the basis of a relationship, conditions of that relationship, promises and conditions for that relationship, and consequences if those conditions were unmet. Brothers and sisters, those same covenant that the children of Israel take upon the Lord, we are now the new Israel. Those covenant that God made with them came to us, but it only functions if we are obedient to the Lord. Very important. And holiness can only be achieved through obedience. It's all intertwined. One of the things then that I noticed that Isaiah spoke about, let's go to Isaiah, is that through different confederacies, known or unbeknownst to us, individually or corporately, we have lost to some degree our peculiar status in the eyes of the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 8, as I said it last time, Isaiah chapter 8, we notice that the Lord says unto them, I think it's verse 12, "Say ye not a confederacy to them to whom this people shall say a confederacy, neither fear ye fear nor be afraid." And we know a confederacy from my last message is an alliance for illicit purposes. So my question, though, my brothers and sisters, what kind of specifics? I was brought the last time, and now I'm going to be specific of certain confederacies or alliances that we might have made knowingly or unknowingly. In fundamentals of Christian education, there is a special talk on politics. It goes from page 475 to 481. I'm just going to, you could read it on your own. For time purposes, I'm just giving you the broad scope where you could find it. You could study it for yourself, and you could see one of those confederacies that many of us are involved with, known or unbeknownst to us, is joining political parties or even voting. Inspiration says on page 475 on fundamentals of Christian education, we cannot with safety vote for political parties. In page 476 of the same book, Fundamentals of Christian Education, let political questions all alone. In page 478, Inspiration tells us it is a mistake for you to think your interest with any political party to cast your vote with them is a mistake. And if you continue to read those pages, Sister White, Inspiration mentioned through Sister White that by voting for politicians, we are helping those same politicians to help them pass the National Sunday Law. Please read it. Fundamentals of Christian Education, pages 475 to 484. It tells you that unbeknownst to us, leave all political parties off the table. Don't vote for no political parties. So if that is a personal thing, I know, but Inspiration says we cannot with safety vote for political parties. And it is a mistake to join or vote them. That is a confederacy that was brought to light for me. Okay? The other one that I found is trade union and secret societies. In Testimonies, Volume 7, page 84, it stated there that we should not join secret societies or trade unions. You could read it more in depth. I gave it a reference. You could get it there and see. That's the next one that we are doing, a confederacy. Those are illicit alliances. The third one that I found, I'm only going to give you three, so now I'm being specific about those alliances that we might have joined. As a former athlete myself, I know what it is to like sports. And the third one that I found is found in Review and Herald, September 10, 1901, paragraph 5. It says there that Satan invented sports and games. You could read the entire reference. She was a specific. So just to recap, I just mentioned to you three type of confederacies that we might have joined knowingly or unknowingly. First was joining or voting for political parties. The second one was joining secret societies or trade unions. And the third one was joining or playing or partaking of sports and games. Sister White in Adventist Home have a whole chapter on recreation and God and how we could have recreation without compromising our status of being peculiar with the Lord. One of the things then that had a profound effect on me while I was doing my research, it says here, outstanding in my character and personality, volume 1, page 18, verse 1, the dangers of psychology. Listen to this reference in terms of us joining these things unbeknownst to us, and I include myself because I did vote in the past, I did play sports, I did play games, and I was in a union. The reference can also be found in letter 244, 1907. Listen why many of us might have joined these things, and if you do, please reflect on these things and sever all ties. It says here, Satan is a student of the mind. For thousands of years, Satan has been experimenting upon the properties of the human mind. He has learned to know it well by his subtle workings. In these last days, he is linking the human mind with his own, imbuing it with his thoughts, and he is doing this work in so a deceptive a manner that those who accept his guidance know not that they are being led by him at his will. The great deceiver hopes so to confuse the minds of men and women that none but his voice they will hear. Wow, that was profound. Letter 244, 1907. And also, I have one more, Confederacies, and I'm going to give you the reference later on. Inspiration also mentioned that Satan invented fashion. He invented fashion, competitive sports, games, secret societies, trade unions, political parties. And the reference for fashion, Sister Carla, I might give it to you later on, but I remember now, God bring it back to remembrance to me. So let me focus on this now. Satan has been studying our mind. That's why we join all these innocent things that we think are innocent are deceptive. That is why we're losing our peculiar status, our holiness, our preciousness, our treasureness, our prized possession, because by his subtle working, he is linking the human mind with his own, imbuing it with his thoughts, and in doing this work in such a deceptive a manner that those, you and I, who accept his guidance know not that they are being led at his will. That is profound. Please, brethren, go back and read letter 244, 1907. I think it's 8 or 9 paragraphs. When you read it when you read it entirely, you will see all profound. Let me pause right here to pray, because when I read this, I said that is why we find it's deception. We join these things, then they look innocent, but they're not. They're taking away our peculiar status, our holy nation, our royal priesthood from us. But praise the Lord, through inspiration and through the Bible, God is bringing out this truth to us that today, on his Sabbath day, We could sever those thoughts, those ties. I and myself, because this message is also for me. In Great Controversy, page 88, it says, through the illumination of the Holy Spirit, the seeds of the long continued conflict between good and evil have been opened to the writer of these pages. From time I have been permitted to behold the working in different ages of the great controversy between Christ, the Prince of Life, the author of our salvation, and Satan, the prince of evil, the author of sin, the first transgressor of God's holy law. Satan's enmity against Christ has been manifested against his followers, which is you and I. It makes sense. Although I'm continuing to study these topics, God has brought up clearly to us, my brothers and sisters, that through deceptive means, through the fashions of this world, through the games of this world, through the sports of this world, through the trade unions, secret societies, and political parties. Now, the concept is broad, but now we have specifics. So now we can see, we can hear clearly from inspiration, God wants us to be his treasure. But if we are disobedient, like Father Adam was, we cannot remain peculiar. We cannot remain his treasure. We will lose our holiness. We could speak it. Inspiration is telling us that is not like that. It is profound. It is startling to learn that. That is why in This Day with God, July 10th, inspiration tells us, if we will partake of divine nature, God would fit us to find happiness in activity and rest in wearing Christ's yoke. If you go to Matthew 11, 28 through 30, Christ invites us. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and you shall find rest unto your souls. So inspiration mentioned that yoke that Christ wears is the yoke of obedience that you and I must also wear. She says here, we should be praying, which, praise the Lord, you guys have a beautiful prayer line, waiting, not in idleness, but in studying, in working, watching the signs of the times, and wearing Christ's yoke. That way, daily, we would come and we could be lowly and meek like Christ. One of my favorite quotes that I like to mention, because when we study the life of Christ, inspiration mentioned in Christ Object Lesson, page 271. Please make a note of these pages. This is a profound one. Christ Object Lesson, page 271. You can make a note of that. It's the end of a chapter, the great fixed goal. Inspiration tells us clearly there, all of us are learning right now of Jesus Christ, every single one of us. To learn of Christ means to receive his grace, which is his character. Sister White just mentioned partaking of divine nature. So when we learn of Jesus Christ, we receive his grace. This is like the definition of grace. We know grace is a merited favor, but the definition of grace is that inspiration says that when we learn of Christ, It means to receive his grace, which is his character, which God Christ wants to give to us. We have joined confederacies unknown to us. If you are not joined one, praise the Lord. I certainly did. And by God's grace, we are just learning and studying how we can sever forever these things. Satan in heaven first deceived half of heavenly angels, whose scripture says was made higher than us. So we need to have discernment. We need to be humble. We need to be stick only to a thus say the Lord. So that statement in character, mind, character, and personality, where Satan is a student of his mind, the one that really touched my heart is the one that says he is imbuing his thoughts with our thoughts. So even when we claim independence, that we are independent thinking, that we are so far ahead, it might not be even our thought. But then I remember by inspiration that we don't have original thought. We only can reflect these thoughts. Inspiration mentioned, we know there are many great wars that have been fought over a period of time. Inspiration mentioned that the greatest war that was ever fought was the war over who controls our mind. It's either Satan controls our mind or Jesus Christ controls our mind. So that is why it makes sense when I read this thing that Satan has been studying the mind, and he learned it well. He learned it well. So that's why he deceived us into following or joining the fashions of the world. Now, every one of us supposed to dress well, supposed to look good, and fashions is not only about clothing. Fashion, just like appetite, is a broad scope. It includes a fashion of housing, of cars, of gadgets, of everything and anything that would take us away, adornments. It also could include even food. Appetite is also about dressing. It's so broad, but they are connected. But let me go back now to let you remind them, brethren, if you have joined any confederacy, secret societies, trade unions, these are confederacies that inspiration says we should not be partake of, because we are a holy nation, a peculiar people, all of us, every single one of us, political parties. So there should be no political parties, because as in the New Testament teaches, when we are peculiar, we are God's possession. He possesses us. He has ownership over us. But if we disobey, we lose that holiness. As I continue here, Paul tells young Timothy that we should show in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. I thank the Lord that he had shown me, and this is just the surface. This is not exhaustive, but we have enough information to identify that those four confederacies, because we are in alliance with them, And even though we didn't think that way, we are. Once we are subject to their norms and clauses, we are in confederacy with them. In MS 29:19-11, inspiration say as follows. The question has been asked, what do you mean by a confederacy? Who have formed a confederacy? No, you know what's a confederacy? It's a union of men in work that does not bear the stamp of pure, straight, forward, and serving integrity. MS 71:19-03, the wicked are being bound up in bundles, bound up in trust, in union, in confederacies. Let us have nothing to do with these organizations. God is our ruler, our governor. He calls us to come out of the world and separate, to come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. If ye refuse to do this, if you continue to link with the world and to look at every matter from a worldly standpoint, we shall become like the world. When worldly policy and worldly ideas govern transactions, we cannot stand on high and holy platform of eternal truth. That's MS 71:19-03. Review and Herald, October 21, 1902. The satanic agents are constantly at work sowing and watering the seeds of rebellion against the law of God, and Satan is gathering under its black banner of revolt. He forms a confederacy with human beings to contend against purity and holiness. He has worked diligently, perseveringly, increasingly, increasing the number who will confederate with him. By his representation, he seeks to widen the distance between heaven and earth, and he grows into the conviction that he can wear out the patience of God and extinguish his love for men and bring condemnation upon the whole human family. This is a matter of life and death. But now, as I'm coming to a close, I want to give 7 things that we could do, that we should, 7 pillars that we can focus on, the 7 pillars that we can focus on as we detach. Many of you might know them, but it was good to me. The Holy Spirit guided me to these 7 pillars, that these are the pillars that we should be focused our attention now and to teach them. The first one, the Adventist pillars that we could focus on in our detaching ourselves from any political parties, from any sports games or teams or unions, secret societies, fashion of this world. Today is the Sabbath of the Lord. If you go to Isaiah 58, verse 13 and 14, God calls this day his holy day. So we're going to lift up the Sabbath. The second pillar is the sanctuary doctrine, where the plan of salvation from the courtyard, which is justification, to the most, to the holy place, which is sanctification, to the most holy place, where is glorification. That is found in Psalm 77, 13 and 14. These are the pillars that we could focus on to regain back our peculiarity, our specialness. If you have not lost it, God praise you, we could reinforce it. The second advent is so close by as we study the figure in Daniel, that statue. We know now that we are in the toenails, in the 10 toenails, that soon, very soon, no one knows yet, that unseen stone would hit that rock and pulverize it. That is found in John 14, 1 through 3, where Christ promised he went and made mansion for us, that where he is, he wants us to be there. The state of the dead is one of the next pillars we could teach and share, where where spiritualism is so rampant now, link up with relativity. We know that in John 11, Jesus Christ called death asleep, and Paul called it asleep as well. So sharing people the right state of the dead and sharing this thing in love with other people would regain us back from what I'm studying, our peculiarity. The three angels' messages, as I mentioned in my last message, there is no other organization in the face of this world who is commissioned by God to share this message of salvation, of worship, of coming out, of obedience. The Red Cross cannot do it. UNESCO cannot do it. The UN cannot do it. No Salvation Army, no organization, only the Seventh-day Adventist prophetic movement is ordained by God to share this message. What an awesome responsibility. And those three messages, angels, are us sharing the light of the world. Because Christ says in Matthew 5, ye are the light of the world. Also, one of the next pillars that we could also add here is the immortality of the soul, which is linked up also to spirituality. And we learn from 1 Timothy 6, where Timothy clearly stated, and people don't want to listen to this, I'm mentioning these seven pillars because if you're following them, praise the Lord. If not, this is what was revealed to me, that we should focus on these things right now, that God wants us to do so. In 1 Timothy 6, verse 15 and 16, Paul writes, which is in time he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who only had immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen and no man can see, to whom honor and peace everlasting. Amen. So only God has immortality. In recapping now, today is the Sabbath. If you look on the middle word, the A, the B, the B, the A, Christ upon the cross, call out Abba, Abba. God's name is in the Sabbath in Galatians 4:6. Repeat a name, Abba is Father. So our Father's name, crusted, is there permanently. That's why any other day, whether it's Friday or Sunday, cannot be the Sabbath, because God's name is not in that day. And as we come into a close, brothers and sisters, I just want to remind you that we can partake of God's divine nature. He wants us to. He wants us to be one with him. through obedience to him, we can be that chosen generation that God called us to be, that royal priesthood, that holy nation, that peculiar people. And don't forget, peculiar means in the Bible special, valuable, treasure, possession. We want to get it back. We need to return back to be known as the people of the book. If you are a people of the book, God bless you. But we need all of us to be people of the book. Review and Herald, July 11, paragraph 2, it says, God has duties for everyone in his service. To every church member to perform, his people are to exalt the power of the law above human judgment by bringing the end time by bringing the body, soul, and spirit into harmony with the law. They are to establish the law. That's why God's law, which is the character, are under attack. So in recapping, and I'm going to make a small appeal, in this part two, and this message is continuing, by God's grace, I was able to get the biblical meaning of peculiar, which is special, which is valuable, which is treasure. We see how God made covenant with individuals, and then it goes to the nation. We see that we have joined a lot of confederacies, known or unbeknownst to us. We know now, by inspiration, who invented sports and games. I gave you the reference. Who invented fashion? Carter gave you that one. Who invented trade unions and secret societies? And we know that politics is also an invention. We also saw clearly that Satan has been studying the mind for thousands of years, and he has imbued his thoughts with our thoughts. That's how we were able to join. And if you never join one of these things, Virgin, God bless you. Most of us, or a lot of us, have did so. So in coming to an end, this message tonight, my brothers and sisters, my appeal to you, a simple appeal to you, if any one of these alliances that you have, my first appeal to you is go back to the references. I gave them to you in the comfort of your home. Read them through. Share them. Study. I continue to study these things, and let the Holy Spirit guide you into that conviction. And second of all, share it with your brothers and sisters, because many of us might have joined these illicit confederacies, even unbeknownst to us. In the time of trouble, how I mentioned in Review and Herald, November 22nd, 1892, if you would stand through the time of trouble, you must know Christ and appropriate the gift of his righteousness, which he imputes to the repentant sinner. How beautiful it is. And I'm going to finish again with 1 John 3, verses 1, 2, and 3. It's a beautiful verse. And this is what God wants for us. This is what God wants us to be. Behold, it's a beautiful, beautiful verse. Behold, what 1 John 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. And the only way that the world could know us not, if we are peculiar, if we are distinct, if we are special. Verse 2, beloved, know are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. God is polishing, is working on our characters, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, and we shall see him as he is. Verse 3, and every man that had this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. Brothers and sisters, may the Lord bless us as we continue to enjoy our Abba, our Father Day, the Sabbatismus, this Family Day, and may these messages, these references, study them, share them, and my appeal again is that, and this appeal is also for myself, if we have joined any confederacy, known or unbeknownst to us, in the light of these profound truths, please sever them. There is no light and darkness mixed together, that we could be the prized possession, the treasure possession of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because that's what he wants for us. And that through obedience, we could be holy, we could be like him, and we could reflect the light of life that in him he wants us to share near and far in this side of his vineyard. Father in heaven, thank you, the Lord, for giving us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And the Lord, we understand that wisdom is knowledge applied, and understanding is sharing that wisdom to those that are among us. I pray that every brother and sister, near and far, would come to you as well as I, the Lord, that we, as one, could regain that peculiar status in your eyes, that we could behold how magnificent that you chose us to be your sons and your daughters, and we could bring others out of this world darkness into your wonderful and marvelous light. Keep us, my prayer is, the Lord, rooted and grounded in your truth. And may the Holy Spirit, dear Lord, may the Holy Spirit keep us in your fold of safety. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you again, Brother Troy. That was a very powerful message. And as you were I was writing down all the pages, all the references, and the Holy Spirit took my mind back to Country Living, Chapter 2, starting at paragraph 9.5. And the Holy Spirit is a guide. He's a comforter, and he will, whatever we have put in, he will bring back. And it says, labor trouble ahead. I'm just going to read a little part. It says, the trade union will be one of the agency that will bring upon this earth a time of trouble such as has not been since the world begun. And this is also in letters 1903. So we see in the Word of God, it tells us about the parties, you know, the trade union and the different, the party that's going on. It doesn't name them by name, but we know the Republican and the Democrat parties, you know, are being talked about here. So may the Lord truly help us. And I just want to thank my brothers and sisters for joining us. Blessed Sabbath to each and every one of you. May the Lord be with you and with your family, and may you draw closer to him and surrender all to him, because we are the Lord by redemption and creation. We belong to him, and we want to be called peculiar. We want to be different amongst our family or our friends or our coworkers. So let us continue to strive to have that holiness and to be perfect and to be without blame before the coming of our Lord. Thank you. Again, please join us Sunday evening for Last Day Event and Thursday for Health Reform Thursday. And again, right here, Preparation Day, bringing in Sabbath. God bless you. Jesus love you. And he's soon to come. God bless. Amen.